Seed Blinds Spring Sale is on now, where you can get 40% off roller and Roman blinds, 30% off outdoor blinds, plus heaps more. You know what else is on now? This Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
Oh, no.
That's not fair. I should know when people are hearing me.
No, well, hang on. Let's.
That's not fair.
Hi, Shayna. How are you going?
I'm so sorry, good. Shayna.
Matt has an apology to make.
You know what?
That was gross.
I have to tell you, I thought I was on hold, so I wasn't really listening. And then I'm hearing the Dancing Doona and the Tahan Shandy, and I'm going, hang on, this is not going live.
No.
That is terrible.
And you know what? Because it was coming from it was one of those dumb stories about yet another celebrity joining the Mile High Club, and I was just thinking how I would never want to do anything in those airplane toilets other than get out of there as quickly as possible.
However, well, he thought it was okay under a blanket.
Well, it makes sense under the toilet when you were talking about the toilet, because I thought, are you critiquing one of the block toilets and saying I wouldn't have sex in that one?
No. Oh, Shayna, no. Blaze, I would never critique.
Darling, there's a reason they call them wet rooms.
Well, I suppose now the only way is up, really. We've gone right to the gutter.
Oh, can I just say, this is the best way to start an interview, because I feel like anything that was between us before is gone now.
Right.
We all know each other really well.
Totally.
And I suppose, does that, you know, when you're walking around critiquing those rooms, does that sort of stuff ever come into your mind? It's like, that's a wonderfully angled bar that can be.
Well, do you know what? It is Darren that always comes up with that. Why giggles, you know, the other week when I said, are you two?
Yes. I have seen him more than once kind of mount himself up on a bench and gone, no, this won't hold.
Yeah. He's a bit of a double entendre man, I tell you.
Nice. So how are you, Shayna?
Yeah.
I'm fabulous. I've just been for a walk. Everything's great.
Melbourne? Do you live in Melbourne?
I'm actually living in country Victoria at the moment, because I was renovating a house up here, and then no reason to go back to Melbourne at the moment.
No, I bet.
It's just depressing.
God, you renovating a house, that house must be perfect. But you must be able to walk around every single room of that house and go, that's a 10, that's a 10, that's a 10.
I've got to say, the pressure on the builders is immense.
I bet it is.
They're just like, oh, my God, you know, you've got to, you know, your standard's pretty high. We've got to rise to the occasion. I went, yep, because it's my reputation and your reputation.
Shayna, we can't put any more cushions in there.
Well, and can I suggest all builders should have been doing that anyway?
Well, yeah.
Suddenly it's like, well, we better do a good job. Shayna's watching.
Well, I think it's also a case of, like, people don't get picked up enough for what they do so they can get away with it.
Yeah, true.
Mm. Yeah, and you can hide things behind a little bit of plaster, can't you?
Oh, a little bit of a curtain, a little bit of a, you know, this and a that. And, yeah, you know, you can. The amount of things I know when people are selling their house, we'll just put that pot over there so they don't see the big stain in the carpet. And we'll just put that over there so you don't see this. So, all guilty in some form.
Absolutely. Now, Shayna, the block itself, I mean, this controversy that's been flouted around as the biggest thing that's ever happened in Australian television, where does it sit for you in terms of controversies?
I think it's pretty big.
Pretty
because
big.
Yeah. It is, because the whole thing about the block is that every Sunday night is only when they find out what room they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they know the overall house and how they're going to, you know, they know they've got to do a bedroom, a bathroom and all those things eventually, but they don't know really how many, because they haven't built the house yet. They don't have any floor plans.
Yes.
They don't have, you know, that foresight of going, well, this is eventually what we have to do. So it just means that the builders can be one step ahead of ordering everything on the Thursday and have everything, all the supplies there ready on the Monday morning to go. Whereas the other ones who don't know about it, you know, their supplies may not get there till Tuesday afternoon. So it is a big advantage.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think more than anything, it's just brought out the worst in everybody. You're just realising that everyone's a bit of a lying, cheaty McCheat. You know,
it's just really sad too, because the pressure of the block's pretty immense no matter what, and to have them pitting against, you know, themselves against each other, and it's not, you know, it was something that one of the contestants did that put everyone against each other, and, you know, and I sort of feel like that, you know, as another contestant on that, I would have been really peeved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Shayna, one of the things that happened during this season of The Block is that for the first time as well, you and the other judges came face-to-face with the contestants, which I was like, after 17 seasons, seems a bit mind-blowing it's taken that long. Was it that much of a shock?
Well, because we're never there. Like, we meet them at some challenges, and we meet them always at the end, but we rarely actually get to talk to them. And that was the first time we were there through them hearing the scores. And apparently the week before was more brutal for them, so we would have heard a few more savoury things if we were there the week before. But I think it was a shock for them because they're just like, well, you know, the judges don't know what they're talking about. It's all just, it's their opinion. And we're sitting there going, it's our opinion? Like, it's our taste. It's like, no, I'm sorry, when something structurally isn't sound, something isn't, no, that's a professional thing. So it is quite interesting, and it made them sort of take a step back going, what did we say? And then afterwards they did get an opportunity to ask us questions about certain things.
Mm. Mm.
Shayna, yeah. I don't know if you're allowed to give me the answer to this, but we had a block breakfast where we asked Ronnie and Georgia, who were our guests, we asked them about the cost of the room, because obviously on the block it comes up saying $20,000 or whatever they've spent. And I said to them, is that just the cost of like what you've put in there? Does that not include your labour? And they said, oh, no, that is the labour. Everything else is sponsored. All the furniture and whatever are from our sponsors, which has made me go, in which case, why aren't they just filling their rooms with really cool stuff? Like, you look at the boys with their cinema room and they've put in that giant Iron Man and you're like, well, they could have put in a better sofa.
Well, hang on. That's very cool. That is awesome.
Can I? Okay, so there's two things here. Let's start with the Iron Man, because every boy is defending it and every child is defending it.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, if you look at that room, you see the Iron Man, you go, whoa! But then you see what the other people have done quality-wise and what their value added, not just a statue, in the build, and you're paying for a piece of real estate. The quality is terrible.
They were worlds apart, yeah.
They were so worlds apart. But don't worry, I loved Iron Man too. I thought that was really cool. But Iron Man will not sell the house unless it's him there.
But so why didn't they just put in a better couch or a better fitting or something?
Well, then there's the other part is that, yes, that money, they're given a certain amount of cash that will pay for all the labour, and then they get sponsor gift certificates. So they get vouchers. So they get certain companies that will give them a wholesale discount. So they're always allowed a wholesale discount. They're never allowed anything for free. And this is always, so I'm not giving away any secrets. This is what's told to air quite a few times. And the vouchers that they get is limited. So it might be Freedom Furniture, they get $30,000. So they will use that. Maybe if they use all of that in one room, they can't do it later on.
Right.
So they miss out on sponsors. So there's some of them that have a value to it. Some of them with the materials, like there might be certain sponsors that have certain materials and there's no value put on that. They can spend whatever they want. Like, you know, they might do, I'm not going to call out any brands because this is me not 100% sure, but I know there's a couple of material sponsors of, you know, cabinetry or joinery or you know, material on wall linings. That it's limitless. You can do whatever you want. But the actual furniture is always a monetary voucher that they can spend.
There you go. Secrets of the block revealed.
Good.
Well, they actually, when they're given out these vouchers, that's sort of given a little bit to public. Like, they are shown that you've got, these are your vouchers. I don't think it was really shown this series. There's sometimes where they'll go into a safe one series and they have it, you know, there's their cash and then there's their vouchers and then there's their sponsors. So it is a different playing field each series.
Well, thank you, Shayna Blaze. Lovely to catch up with you this morning. And The Block is back tonight at 7:30 on Channel 9.
Exciting one, this one, I tell you.
Thanks, Shayna.
Thanks, Shayna. See ya.
No worries. Thanks. Have a great one.
You too.
Tolerating our conversation at the beginning.
Look, nothing like a little bit of colour this time of the morning.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Ina, you thought that news only happened in the Big Smoke. Well, let's cross to Michelle Anderson for news from the Nether Regions.
Oh, yeah, wonderful dulcet tones up and down the WA coast. It is always time to check in on the regions because they matter as well.
Absolutely. It's good to be here, guys, and I bring everything from the regions with me when I come every time. Yeah. So, yeah.
You've been missing for a while.
Yeah, yeah, and I went nowhere. So... I've got none of my personal travels to talk to you about, but I have got news from the Nether Regions.
Great.
What do you got?
And look, it starts off with everyone in Perth is put on notice. Mm. And I'm talking about Carnarvon. There's a lovely little shop called Bumbacks Preserves and Ice Creams in WA. And they've been getting flack, the owner says, because there's people coming in, and you know who you are, and asking for avocado milk in their lattes and their whatnot.
Avocado.
They're a small shop. They don't have that. And the woman who runs it has had enough. So I'm putting you on notice. If you want soy, almond, vegan, low fat, or any of that stuff, and almond milk.
Piss off back to Perth.
And avo. Exactly, mate.
Yeah, totally.
She's just as small. She can't get a hold of the wholesalers.
Also, I can't imagine you'd have to go through wasting a whole avocado just to get some milk out of it.
Absolutely. I didn't know you could milk them.
Well, I mean, would it be a juice? Would it be better that it's a juice? Like an avocado juice, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean? You juice an avocado, wouldn't you? Not milk an avocado.
Well, no, you get
avocado
tiny
milk.
I think you're missing the point.
It's like, no, it's like when you have.
Yeah, okay, I think I've taken this far
but
too
this
literally.
Interesting. Yeah, no, yeah. This is interesting.
It's like when people have like almond milk, right? Like almond milk, I get. Avocado, I reckon, should be avocado juice, not avocado milk.
Yeah. Or guac. Just leave it as it should be, as nature intended. But the woman's put up a sign. No means no. That works on so many levels,
doesn't it?
Know what I mean?
And people have always listened to that advice in the past, so I really think they're going to follow her sign now.
They're like,
oh, now we're talking about avocado milk. Definitely no means no.
No means no, guys. All right, so behave yourselves. And in other news, we'll head to the Pilbara, okay, where for the first time in 3 years... they've got a speeding camera.
Wow, really?
Amazing. Well,
finally.
Amazing.
Is this just to catch the Perth people driving in the Pilbara?
Wild. Okay, so get this, all right?
Hmm.
201 motorists snapped on the first day.
Well, yeah, because they knew that up until now there hasn't been anything.
They're cowboys and they need to calm down. So that was out of how many people went through? 3,200 vehicles went through. 201 racked up a speeding fine, and we're not talking 5 or 10 Ks.
Oh, really?
We're talking crazy.
Okay.
So it's just be safe. That's 7% speeding.
Good,
you know what I mean?
Quick maths, too.
Oh, yeah, that's off the top of my head. I didn't know.
No, well done.
That trying was just to get bang, to bang, bang, bang. For those avocado meals. Bloody hell, she's shutting up.
Why were you speeding, sir? Well, I heard about this shop.
But now how boring, because everyone knows it's there now. It's
No. It's mobile, mate. They keep moving it around.
Do they?
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled.
Some of us need incentives to behave ourselves.
Absolutely. You can go to Red Dog. Just behave yourself as you're doing it. You know what I mean? Do it sensibly.
Do it sensibly.
Good advice.
It's a great message.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's all from me. I'm just trying to keep the community safe.
It's so nice to have you back.
Yeah, feel closer to the Nether Regions.
That's good.
Mm.
Now, guys, Europe have crowned their mullet king at a festival in France. Throw it, show it. The old mullet. I mean, it just keeps doing the rounds, doesn't it?
I didn't realise it was so big in Europe.
Apparently it is. I feel like we've sort of thought that we owned it here and that it was going to be ours, but it's gone everywhere. Mm. Belgian man Nicolas van der Keelen has taken the title of Mullet King.
Good on you, Nick.
Saying the mullet is a way of life. It's not just a hairstyle, it's a lifestyle.
Well, I suppose you have to. I mean, if you're committing to a mullet, if you're committing to that look, it's got to be. You got to rock it.
Because it's in work and play.
Absolutely it is.
You can wear it on the football field, but you've also got to go to a friend's wedding.
And are you prepared to keep it when, you know, when you've got your jet black, maybe young hair, great, but as it grays, as it thins, are you still committed to it?
Well, and the modern mullet too, they're saying it's a gender-neutral hairstyle because everyone can rock it. Miley Cyrus had a mullet not so long ago. And it's appealing to both fashionistas and anti-conformists.
Anti-conformists.
Which kind of is brilliant. Like, because if you think you're wearing a mullet because you're anti-conformist, but someone else is wearing it because they're a fashionista, it's perfect.
Well, but isn't it? I mean, that's what's happened with tattoos, right? Yeah. When I was a kid, people who had tattoos were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then now everyone's got one, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everyone's doing it. Yeah. Well, Nicholas has been rocking his mullet for 20 years.
Wow, that's
and he says
great.
He's sticking with it, particularly now that he's mullet king. But I feel like that sort of about my Converse All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know when you just think there's something about yourself that you go, I've been rocking this for a long time.
Sure.
I don't think I'm ever prepared to give it up.
Yeah, right.
I don't think, like, Converse All-Stars, I'm going to be like a woman in her 80s and I'll still be rocking a skate shoe.
Well, I reckon you sort of go through a period of cool, 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 not cool, your dag, get off them, cool, cool, cool yes. again. So I reckon probably between the ages of, for Converse All-Stars, I'd go with maybe careful. 43 to around about 58,
I don't care,
I'd say.
Mate.
And then past that, no. Oh, grandma's got her Converse on. How cool is grandma?
Yeah,
so you're
true,
saying
but
I can't
care.
Wear it at that age. It's not cool.
Yeah, Matt's already out then.
Oh. I'm already in that window.
Sorry.
See, this is the whole point, is that when you want to commit to something and you
don't wear shoes, what are you talking about?
I do, they're Converse because I want to look like Kimber.
You know, when you want to commit to something and it's your thing and you're not prepared to let it go, it doesn't matter if you think it's cool. It doesn't matter if other people think it's fashionable. Mm. It's what you want. My dad has been rocking a red polo shirt for about 40 years and he's never going to get rid of the red polo.
Well,
loves it.
Let's face it, until the beginning of this year, I was trying to hang on to smoking for as long as I possibly could because that's all I had. That was my look.
Well,
and it's gone.
Tell us, what's something you've been rocking for ages and you will not let go of? Never gonna give you up.
Well, I'm wearing one today.
What's that?
That's my I've got an Xbox shirt on.
Oh,
your
yeah.
gaming shirt.
So at some point, my gaming and pop culture shirts have to go because at some point, it's no longer going to be cool when I'm wearing a shirt that says my other car is a DeLorean.
No.
Yeah. Apparently
you've
between 43 and 58,
well,
buddy,
yeah.
you're fine. Yeah. Then it's okay again.
It's a touché,
good sir. Glenn in Coburn, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hit us with it, mate. What have you got?
I'll never give up wearing a singlet or tucking my shirt in.
Tucking the shirt in.
Never going to give up the shirt. So the singlet underneath the shirt?
That's correct, yes. And I even tuck my flannelettes in.
Ah, okay. Really? So, this seems like a thing that is like an older school thing, isn't it? Because most people leave them out now. But why do you like the tuck in?
Well, I used to try and rebel at school and not have my shirt tucked in.
Yeah.
But yeah, after school, it's, I'd say it's an older school generation thing that I've just, been indoctrined in by my father and grandfather.
Nice.
So the white singlet, my grandfather was never without a white singlet under his shirt.
Yeah, well,
that was just the way it was. Yeah.
Well, it's probably a nice way to regulate your body temperature.
Probably is too.
Marie in Merengaroo, good morning. What are you not giving up?
Good morning, guys. I am not giving up my black string bikini.
Good. The wrong one there.
Yeah. You don't want the other one.
Your black string bikini.
Yep, I just turned 60, and I've decided that was my goal to wear it till I was 60.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can't wear it, I'm just going to go to Swanbourne.
Oh,
good on you, Marie. Teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time. Do you know, Marie? I've never owned a bikini.
Really?
I've never owned one. I've never even had it. I've never had a two-piece, not even as a kid. I feel like I'm missing something.
Wow.
You sound so liberated.
Well, you got to be.
Yeah.
You got to be. Own it.
You live once, don't you, Marie? You live once.
I had a cheeky little number, but it really rode up.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Joe, what are you never going to give up?
I am never, ever going to give up my manual transmissions.
Oh, I'm with you, Joe. I love me gears.
I was just thinking this yesterday. I was behind a car who was clearly a manual car because the gear changes were a bit, and I thought, they're getting a bit few and far between now, aren't they? Seems everybody gets an automatic.
Yeah, it's getting really, really rare these days to actually find a car that's a manual. I'm a complete redhead. I own a V8 Holden Ute.
Yeah.
And it's a manual, and everyone says, "Oh, eventually you'll grow up, you'll grow older, your knees will give in, and you'll want just a nice, comfortable, auto everyday car."
What are they?
And I'm just like, no.
No.
God, next thing they'll be telling you to go and get a Tesla, Joe. What are they thinking?
Oh, Joe, when I was young, a mate of mine had one of those, what do you call that when the gear sticks?
Stick shift.
A stick shift on the wheel there.
Yeah, column shift.
A column
shift.
There you go, yeah. Oh, I loved that.
Oh, God, they're good.
His restaurants, Sarong and Mama San, are two of our favourites in Bali. And this month, he'll start feeding us from his new bar and restaurant in Leederville. Please welcome, from Will Street, Will Merrick. Buon appetit, baby.
Hi, Chef.
Hey there, how are you?
We're great. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
We are so thrilled that you have a new restaurant opening up here because having dined in Sarong in Bali many times, I'm hoping to get more of that deliciousness. Is that what we can expect?
Yeah, for sure. You can expect a lot of that. And I think, you know, it'll be a bit of an amalgamation of call it a diary, and we're putting pen to plate. So it's all the stories that we've traveled and we've seen. And of course, you know, before COVID, we're all traveling at least 2 to 3 times a year. And so we were definitely doing that. And we've been all the way to the Nagalands in India. We were in Assam. We were in the Zagora Desert in Morocco. So we've done a lot of traveling. And what we're trying to find is actually all the connections between the routes. Oh. And there were the gunpowder empires. And they were one of the connections, which is the Safavid Empire, Ottoman Empire, and the Mughal Empire, which creates that from India down to the Middle East, down to North Africa.
And so we're ends in delicious that. Food.
And
ends in
delicious food. There
us.
You go.
And of course, Will, as Kimber was alluding to, you've had a successful restaurants in what we call the northern suburbs of Perth for some time, haven't you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Bali.
Mama San and Sarong in Bali. So, and this Will Street, when in Leedy, when is it open? Is it open now?
Yep, no, it'll be open at the first week of October, hopefully, you know, providing tradies and materials all arrive on time, fingers crossed.
Well, I'm one of those people who goes to a restaurant and I have my genuine, like, general go-to. So I'm a steak man.
Yes.
Right? But I do like going to a restaurant and looking at a menu and trying something different. But I usually look at everything if I've never been to that restaurant before and get so confused that I end up always going with a steak.
Right.
So if I'm going to come to your restaurant, can you recommend something off the menu if it's ready to go for me to try?
Yeah, for sure. The steak.
Okay. You've got me. I'm there. Absolutely.
So what's your background, Will? Do you started as a chef? Is that what you, began cooking?
No, I started as a chef. I never intended to be cooking. You know, all my brothers and sisters are all bankers and that kind of thing. And I suppose led astray and was a bit naughty and then needed discipline. And the kitchen pretty much gave me discipline. And that's why I stayed in the kitchen because I needed that structure. Without that structure, well, I think I'll be still dancing in nightclubs and all the rest of it.
So. All the better for it, Will. All the better for it.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm no good
in
the kitchen.
Yes, you talk about discipline, structure, Will. We have a young woman over here who's remarkable in every way. Except cooking.
I don't cook.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy cooking. But after possibly a few people telling me that my cooking wasn't to their taste, I've lost confidence. And I've never hosted a dinner party. And I would like to host a dinner party with mixed listeners. It'll be the first party I've ever hosted.
Right.
Where I'm cooking a 3-course meal. I've definitely bitten off more than I can chew, but is there any kind of advice you could give to me as a first-time cook doing her first dinner party?
Yeah. So the first thing is get your phone, dial Uber Eats, then put it in a smart dish, and then go, oh, God, I'm so tired of cooking. I've done all this for so long. But the hardest thing I find with cooking is that people want to talk to you while you're cooking. And he's just like, will you just stop talking to me? I don't mean to be rude, but I'm trying to get the food out. I'm trying to do this.
That's
I'm trying to do that.
The whole premise of MasterChef.
And everyone's hanging around the edge, kind of looking at you as you're trying to scrape the burnt bits off and put it back on again.
Right.
And
to be fair, it'll be Kimber doing the talking, though, Will.
And it'll be burning in the background. Yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm most nervous about is the timing of dishes. Yeah. So I'm the kind of person, if I was to prepare you breakfast, for example, I don't know how to get the hash browns in line with the eggs, in line with the toast. And so I can't guarantee that everything can come out at once.
Yeah.
And I know that's the cool thing they do now at restaurants, don't they? When they just, you sit down and you order and they just go, so the dishes here just come out whenever they're ready. And I'm like, what?
Because we can't get it together in the kitchen.
That's the one thing you're meant to do. So that's what's something that I'm quite concerned about. How do I find out?
Well, what are you wanting to do? Because
it's going to be a 3-course meal, and listeners are going to give me their foolproof recipes, and I'm going to take an entree from a listener, a main from a listener, and a dessert from a listener, and try and put it all together.
So toast is on the menu for the night.
Toast.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, one thing I would say for the main course, and if anyone throws something out there, get a roast. It's easy done. You get the chicken, put it in the oven. You get the vegetables. You put it all in the oven at the same time. And it's easy.
Okay.
We have a roast every night, whether it's roast chicken, roast pork, roast whatever it is. Maybe it's because we're English, but also just because it's chucked in the oven, on you go, and that's your main course done.
Mm, okay. Am I going to be in trouble because I'm vegetarian and I don't know how to cook a chicken?
Well, now you've just made your life difficult.
Yeah.
No offense, anyway.
It's been difficult
your life
for
much, much harder.
Years.
Now you've really got to think about what you're doing.
Yes.
I'm prepared to cook, mate. I just don't. How am I going to know if it's ready? Like, I don't know. I've made spaghetti bolognese once and I was stirring the mince in the pan and I was like, oh, it's going a grey colour. I don't know if that's meant to.
So the trick is use a thermometer when you're doing roast. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll get your medium rare, your medium, etc. So that's a really easy way to start to learning about how to, you know, what the tension is on your meat, is it medium, is it medium rare?
And I won't make them that offer either. The listeners are not going to get how do you like your meat.
No,
it's
like
just
going to
be,
truly.
Do you want your meat without food poisoning? And that's how it will be delivered, I hope.
Is that considered a cheats thing, or that's quite okay?
No,
I mean,
like I don't use it when I'm cooking in the restaurants,
but...
At home, if you're cooking a big roast, you know, you're cooking a 1 kilo, kilo and a half, you don't want to ruin it. So getting a thermometer when you're cooking a big piece of meat is perfectly okay. And again, it's all about, you know, if you're doing a barbecue, it's understanding your heat placement. But definitely get a thermometer if you're doing a roast, pork, beef, chicken, whatever. And if you're hitting round about 54, 55 on a larger piece of meat, then that's probably your medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at rare, then you're probably looking at about probably 49, 48. And if you're looking at well done, well, that hits 70.
Wow.
No, but it's about 60.
So
that's what I would use if you're doing that.
Okay.
Colds, for cold things, salads all the way.
Could you kick off with the entree being a soup or a salad, and then I could sort of pre-prepare it earlier?
And the other thing is just get prawns. Prawns and
mayo. I'm allergic to shellfish.
And just lemon. My God.
I can sort.
Don't go for dinner. Don't send anything in.
I can sort the prawns out for you, mate. I've got you covered there.
I'll cook the meat.
Yeah.
All you have to do is turn up.
We're defeating the purpose. The thing is, I'm 40 years of age. I've never cooked a dinner, and it's time to learn.
You're bloody
it's
beautiful. Don't
time to learn.
It.
Now you have to just keep your fingers crossed that somebody asks you to cook a roast for the listeners that we get.
These have all been very good tips, though.
Good tips.
I appreciate this. And if it all goes to custard, then I'll try and put it off and we'll wait until your restaurant's open.
Yeah, or you just call Uber Eats or just call me and I'll send it over to you.
Yeah, awesome.
In a bumkus bag. Takeaway bag.
Awesome. Will Merrick. Pleasure having you here,
Thank
mate.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We look forward to the opening of Will Street.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
My darling wife, Liz, she hasn't been feeling too well. She's got there's a bloody flu going around at the moment.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Walk around this office.
Sorry, mate, I know. There's a flu going around at the moment. Well, she's copped it, the poor thing.
Like it's a surprise to him.
Yeah.
He's been coughing and spluttering.
I feel like maybe you coughed on her for a week.
Yeah.
No, we have kids in the house. It's their fault.
Yeah.
And I've come home yesterday afternoon. She's gone, I just want to go outside and lie in the sun.
Okay.
Sure. Off you go, hun. I'll take Ollie. I'll take Izzy. All good. Go out and lie in the sun. And I wandered out there with Ollie and I sat down overlooking the backyard and she's there and she's lying on the bench that we've got out there and she just looks like she is having a great time.
Oh, recharging the batteries.
Recharging the batteries. The arm over the face. It's like a warm afternoon, but it's cool enough for it not to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of stuff. And I can just see she's just great. I'm thinking, this is wonderful. I hope you enjoy that. You work so hard here.
Yeah.
And then our dog Ranger wanders over to her.
Oh, no.
Right? And he's like half a meter away.
Mm.
and he assumes the position.
Oh, what? No.
She wasn't out there any longer than 2 minutes. He assumes the position and let's fly.
Just a giant turd.
Oh, man. And this is the, it's the sort of, forgive me if it's still a little bit of breakfast time for you, but it's the sort of stuff that could have fallen through the eye of a needle too.
Okay.
And it's just
not a well, not a well ranger.
No, no. And it's just kept coming.
Ranger danger.
Yuck.
And I've looked at it. I've had to do everything I possibly could to stifle myself from laughing. And two thoughts went through my head. One is, God, that's hilarious. The other one is, you jerk.
You jerk.
You jerk. Because the way dogs look when they do that as well is like, you know what? You look like you're having a great time, but I'm going to come here and ruin your day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you while you're doing it.
They do look at you.
That look on their face. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to know, why is your pet a jerk?
Okay.
McGruff's been a jerk.
Really?
Well, whenever winter starts, whenever there's a little bit of rain or a little bit of wind, he decides there's no need to go and wee outside. Don't worry about all that toilet training you gave me for the first 4 years. I'll just do it on any of your carpet.
Jerk.
Wherever I feel like I should, this is a good time. And I was like, we won't have any of that. So I put him back in the laundry. We went back to like crate training days. And he was doing really well for a few weeks that way. And I was like, everything was fine. And then we took him out to a friend's house for dinner, to a dinner party. And everyone was saying to me, your dog's so well behaved. What a sweet dog. Yeah. Like, he's such a good dog. I couldn't bring my dog to a dinner party, you know. And then that night I got him home and I said, you know what, mate, you've been so good. And it's rainy outside. So I'm going to let you stay back in the house.
Mm.
Back into the house you go. And that night peed on the carpet.
Mm.
Yeah. What a jerk.
Jerk. Absolute jerk.
He had one chance and he blew it.
And he was FaceTiming Pete's dog Ranger at the time when he did it.
Go look at this lot.
Yeah, having the time of their lives, those two. Why is your pet a jerk?
Michelle in Queens Rocks. You got a jerk pet?
Yeah, hi. Dog was definitely a little jerk, bless her heart. We were going on holiday and I'd bought some baby shampoo bottles and they're in my handbag. And she looked straight at me and did her business in my handbag on the shampoo bottles. So,
really?
Shampoo too.
Pooed, she shampooed, pooed in your poo.
She shampooed the shampoo. Yep, she did.
Well, just didn't like Gucci or
no, it didn't really matter though. It was didn't matter.
How big was your handbag? I mean, that's extraordinary.
It was enough to contain what happened. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what you would have to do to clean a poo out of a handbag.
Well, everything went in the bin, and I had to suffer the embarrassment. So bless her little heart, her dirty laundry is exposed.
Thanks, Michelle. Let's go to Lauren in Banksia Grove. Tell us about your jerk pet, Lauren.
Hello. My cat is a jerk because she uses my Nick Scali lounge as her scratching post.
Oh, I feel your pain.
Oh, man.
I feel your pain.
Matt was just talking about the same thing.
And, I buy her, like, scratching pads and scratching posts and spend all sorts of money on her. But, she insists on using the Nick Scali lounge. So $3,500 worth of Nick Scali. And, it's absolutely shredded.
Jerk move.
Yeah, you don't do that to a Nick Scali. Come on.
Casey and Ellenbrook, good morning. Tell us about your two ginger jerk cats.
Morning, guys. I've got two ginger cats. One in particular is an absolute jerk. We used to have one of those old single-door fridges with a freezer on top.
Oh, yes.
And we'd come home and there would be food all over the house. We thought the seal was open, but one of my cats was actually opening up the door.
Wow.
And they were going wild.
Opening the fridge.
And taking the food out.
How?
He's so smart. He was getting his little paw just on the side and applying pressure just to pop it open.
that is
brilliant.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's almost like it's not even mad. That's amazing.
It's all right, Pete. We live in a world where jerks get rewarded.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Good, mate. What happened yesterday?
So we did the other way to maximise the beautiful day. We thought we'd wash the dogs and one of them is a little French bulldog. Dried him off, take him to the dog park, just looking after him, you know, because they look after us type thing. Mm. Yesterday afternoon, we went to decide to do our afternoon walk where there's some sort of sand trails, and we're walking along with the little Frenchie, and she and the dogs are getting excited because they know that they can normally get let off the lead. And a runner runs past us, looks like he's sort of running like flexing his bum cheeks, like he needed to do number two. And he ran off around the corner with, oh, that's right, he'll probably make it down to the public toilet. And I turned to my partner, I said, oh, let's let him off the lead, eh? And she said, yeah, right, so we let him off the lead, and they're going through the bush, and they're sniffing, and we look up, and the little Frenchie runs back to us, and she's rolled in this human number two. And it's ripping off her. All up the dog lead, all up over the harness.
Why does it seem
bulldog.
Worse that it's human excrement? Why does it seem worse?
It does. Yeah,
and then,
it's like, oh, is that poo? You know, and then we have a look at it, and so obviously you got to grab the dog to have a smell, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's human number two. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, why do we smell it? Like, you look at it and you know it's poo.
You know why people smell it? Because you're desperately hoping you'll get away with just covering them in dry shampoo.
Yeah. That's right. And have you not seen Caddyshack? Yeah. It could have been a Chiquito.
Good was that Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. There's heaps more available on the Listener app. And there's heaps more amazing deals on blinds, awnings and shutters available at the ABC Blinds Spring Sale on now. 94.